Okay, let's get going. Hour number three, and Erica and Jeff here again three times this week. We're going to do this three times every week as we walk through these very, very dark valleys. And it's going to get, I think, a lot worse before it eventually resolves one way or the other, ultimately down the line. And I'm talking years down the line here. We have a lot of very difficult times ahead. What we try to do with these programs is bring you the best information, and we do what I call speculative science. Now, Erica is an MIT graduate. She's a brilliant scientist with an emphasis on nanotechnology. She knows more than anyone I think I've ever met in my life, easily. She's brilliant, and we do our best to understand what they are never going to tell us, at least willingly. We've examined everything from patents to papers. She's constantly reading papers, researching, digging, putting things together. And we talk a lot. And she puts things in a way that I can understand them and you can understand them, and comes up with more and differing pathways by which this evil, evil bioweapon, Dr. Chetty of South Africa calls it the most evil thing ever constructed. And he's talking primarily about the spike protein by human beings and the number of ways in which this bioweapon attacks the human blood system, and talking about the circulatory system, the blood components, the heart, you name it, is astonishing. So I named this Bad, Bad Blood of the Vaxxed tonight. And we have some more information coming out now. And we want to kind of head off this attempt to resurrect the Happy Hydra story, because it's not true. We debunked it. It is to stay debunked as far as we are concerned, and there's more going on. So, Erica, welcome back, and what are we going to talk about tonight?
Hi, Jeff. Well, I suppose we should talk about the blood.
Yeah.
Which seems to be the main target of this bioweapon, or at least the initial target, and from there it goes system-wide.
Without the blood, we're obviously dead. But as I said, and I've said many, many times, this bioweapon, which was obviously conjured up, it was created, it was tested, ultimately it was deployed to do one thing, as Dr. Chetty says, and that is to kill billions of people without anyone really connecting the two. I think the connection is pretty well made among those who are well informed, and I count all of you listening in that group, wherever you are around the world, you understand the basics. A lot of people don't, or they never would have gotten the shot. I don't know what the official number is in the United States, the formerly United States of America, but it's probably two-thirds injected, one-third not injected. I'm talking about people 18 years of age and up. Some people say it's 25% unvaxxed, 75% vaxxed. I don't know. But we do know that the number of people who have been vaxxed, who have sustained injuries, these are lifelong injuries, is enormous. And we also know that very few of them, if any, honestly, are recovering. They may be stabilized, but Erica, they are not recovering.
I think that's, yeah, the general trend that I've observed. It's really rather tragic.
Well, it's rather genocidal, and that's the game. That was the target, to reduce the planet by 6 billion people, and they, in my view, are not going to slow down. They will not stop. I do not see the American people rising up to do anything. I've seen Germany rise up, and nothing was accomplished. 4 million people in one demonstration, nothing happened. Americans sit on their asses, and maybe they bitch about it a little bit. If the weirdest thing that one can imagine is put on the table, it would have to be people who are literally dying defending the bioweapon that killed them. This is happening.
It sure
they will
is.
Not. They will not admit it.
Can't or won't.
Can't or won't. Cancer. Tell us about the cancer explosion. We're going to jump into the blood here in just a minute, but cancer's all over the place.
Yeah, that's recently, in the past couple of months, that's been noted by many, many clinicians observing it in their practice, and most notably Dr. Ryan Cole out of Idaho has seen it in his pathology practice. It's just an explosion. You know, the figure that was bandied about earlier this year, it may have changed, was he has seen a 20% increase in the rate of endometrial cancer in women. 20 times.
Through the roof. And we're not talking about one or two or five or six types of cancers. We're talking about a lot more than that. Tell them about the leukemia. We've said this before, and I think it does warrant repeating. What kind of leukemia are we seeing here? It's almost unprecedented.
Yeah, the leukemias that are occurring are very fast, very aggressive, and many times people die while waiting not just for the treatment but for the protocol to decide how they want to treat it. And before they can even begin the treatment, they're gone. I mean, weeks, matter of weeks. But
one
then
story I heard,
there's kidney
somebody,
cancers, there's lung cancers, there's
right.
just
right.
a wide variety.
Leukemia, what was it, two or three days, a few days after somebody got one of these hideous shots, they were diagnosed with leukemia. They had no record of cancer before that. And they were dead in 2 weeks.
At least some of these people had been worked up for other reasons before they got the inoculation. And
right.
they were given a clean bill of health. And then within weeks of getting the shot, they were diagnosed with very aggressive cancers.
Breast cancer is another
big one that seems to really be ravaging the women.
Not talking about that nearly enough in the alt media. Which, remember, is around 85% owned, operated, and controlled by the very people who are behind this massacre of humanity, which is underway. Not good. Not good. But do keep in mind that your circulatory system, your blood cells, your immune system, which is, of course, tied to it, is your life. And this is targeting, among other things, not just the blood cells, the blood flow, the circulation, the heart. It's targeting your immune system. It, the kill shot, the bioweapon, it wants your immune system dead. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, all the blood tests that are performed on these people who have received the injections, these clinicians are reporting that they've never seen blood chemistries that look like this. They're just so out of whack. And that's to say nothing of the live blood analyses that are being done, which are equally horrific.
They're shocking, devastating. They're using dark field microscopes on some of this. We're going to show you some imagery a little bit later in this hour that I think will stun you. And you're welcome to, of course, share these programs. They're all posted on the homepage with anyone you'd like. If you have any further questions, you should talk to your doctor. If you don't get a satisfactory response from your doctor, you should find another doctor. Go to a naturopath. You've got to do your own research. You have to. You have to be your own advocate. Too many people have gone into the hospital with no advocate. And they're right away put on remdesivir, and they're run right into the ventilators and right out the back door to the morgue. It's just, so many people were murdered last year. Hundreds of thousands of Americans were murdered last year. And now they don't have to say that they died from COVID. They have dozens of different diseases that these people with crushed immune systems are now getting, and they can simply say, yes, Mr. Jones died of fill in the blank. They've got a lot of choices now, correct?
Oh, yeah. And they are using the excuse that the unvaxxed are the ones that are dying.
No. The vaxxed are dying, and the vaxxed are sick. And we do also believe, I'm going to play a video here shortly to set this up, but we do also think that there may be something new that has been unleashed on us, introduced into the populace, or it may be that, well, tell them about somebody might be getting influenza, and if they've been vaccinated, what could happen to that flu strain?
Well, yeah, there was a study published, I think, in 2019. It was they called it the Army study. I forget who the author was or the team that did the research. But they found that if you had received a vaccination for influenza, the antibodies that were generated from that vaccine could actually make you more susceptible to a coronavirus infection through a mechanism called antibody interference. So even though you might be protected from the flu, if you were exposed to a coronavirus, mm-hmm. Well, you could suffer the effects of that.
The other side of it is your chimera, which is really important. I think that's underrated and unknown, frankly.
Well, that could happen. In fact, the influenza C is known to have a sequence, very, very small sequence of a coronavirus. So at some point in some population, those two viruses met and exchanged genetic material. Mm-hmm. So it does happen. But now with these vaccines and introducing raw genetic material, genetic codes with the mRNA at the same time as a flu shot, you're almost begging for it.
Almost begging for it. And do not get the flu vax. I'm not a doctor. Erica's not an MD either. But we're recommending don't get the flu vax. We don't know what's in it. It's supposed to be a quadrivalent flu vax this year. And they're giving it in the same arm at the same time as the bioweapon injections.
Yep.
How much more trouble could you beg for than that?
And we had that guest on about a month ago, who she had gotten the flu shot, I think a year or so ago, and
something
still
like
has
that.
Swollen lymph nodes from it.
Yeah. We will have Nurse Ann back next week on the program to update what she is seeing at a major hospital in the Northeast. Very interesting, to put it mildly. But there is something else going around now that's very nasty. It could be a flu. We're not sure. It's ending up with bacterial pneumonia in many, many cases. But above all, extraordinarily weakness and fatigue. No energy whatsoever. It's wiping out the body's ability to even get up and walk around and take care of itself. People are just in bed and they can't move. This is common. I talked to a doctor 2 days ago. He had, in an emergency setting, 20 cases in 90 minutes. People came in with the same symptoms. High fever, difficulty breathing, aches and pains, no appetite, blood pressure issues. I forget what else. I don't know if you remember any, but he had 20 cases in 90 minutes in one emergency facility.
And I suspect that's happening at many hospitals across the country.
Yeah. He said all the hospitals in that area were full, and there was
yep.
a 4 to 5 hour wait to get into the ER. Four
yes.
to five
I'm
hours.
I'm hearing the same.
Yeah. All right. We're going to listen to Charles Hoff. Dr. Hoff is a Canadian physician. Then we're going to get into this this new issue of extremely dirty, dirty, confused, and conflicted blood right after this. So listen, this is very important.
When the COVID vaccine is injected into your arm, we now know that only 25% of it actually stays in your arm. And the other 75% is literally collected by your lymphatic system and fed into your circulation. So these little packages of messenger RNA, and by the way, in a single dose of a Moderna vaccine, there are 40 trillion messenger RNA molecules. 40 trillion.
Now, I want to update this just a little bit. He said 75% moves out of the vax site, 25% stays. We don't think any of it stays around now. We think it all circulates through the body. There's no reason to think otherwise. And the number now is not 40 trillion RNA packet, mRNA packets, it's, or whatever you want to call them. It's 50 trillion on the average per injection. So this is an extremely diabolical issue. Erica, anything to add to that?
Well, just bear in mind, too, that each one of those RNA, mRNA packets can code for some number of spike protein. It's not a one-for-one. It's a one-for, might be indefinite, but.
Good point. Very good point. Yeah, we don't know when it stops. We don't know if it stops. Theoretically,
correct.
It won't stop. So, you know, you're there's no going back on this. You are GMO'd, and that's not good. All right, here we go.
Injected into your arm. So 3/4 of these are taken, connected by the lymphatics. They go into your bloodstream in these little packages that are designed to be absorbed into a cell. But obviously, when something's in your circulation, the only cells that they're going to get absorbed into is the cells around your blood vessels. And the place where absorption happens is in the capillary networks. In other words, these are the tiniest vessels where the blood slows right down. These are tiny, tiny vessels. So these little packages of genes are absorbed into the cells around the blood vessels. That's the vascular endothelium. The packages open, the genes are released. Your body then gets to work reading these genes and manufacturing trillions and trillions of COVID spike proteins. Because even though you get 40 trillion genes, each gene can produce many, many COVID spike proteins. So, and the purpose of the spike proteins is that your body recognizes this as a foreign protein and will make antibodies against it so that you're then protected against COVID. That's the idea. But here's where the problem comes. In a virus, in a coronavirus, that spike protein becomes part of the viral capsule. In other words, around, it's part of like the cell wall around the virus called the viral capsule. But it's not in a virus. It's in your cells. So it therefore becomes part of the cell wall of your vascular endothelium, which means that these cells that line your blood vessels, which are supposed to be smooth so that your blood flows smoothly, now have these little spiky bits sticking out. So it is absolutely inevitable that blood clots will form because your blood platelets circulate around in your vessels, and the purpose of blood platelets is to detect a damaged vessel and block that vessel to stop bleeding. So when the platelet comes through the capillary, it suddenly hits all these little COVID spikes that are jutting into the inside of the vessel. It is absolutely inevitable that a blood clot will form to block that vessel.
Okay. You all, I think, get the idea pretty well. Now, at the same time, there are what we call microclots going on in the capillaries, not in the blood vessel. He's talking about blood vessels primarily here, but in the capillary, and it could take perhaps one spike protein to shut down a capillary. What happens to all the cells on either side of the capillary downstream that were supposed to be getting nourishment? They die. Do you notice that you've been hit with a microclot? No, you don't know. These, we feel, are building around the clock in people. Micro clots.
Yep. I would say that, I think he made this video probably 5 months ago.
July, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure if that's been confirmed, the fact that the endothelium is actually becoming transfected with the mRNA and then subsequently producing the spike protein. You know, it'd be interesting to see if we could ever get an autopsy, if that was actually happening. I think the microclots can form on their own just from the interaction with the proteins and platelets in the blood. I mean, the blood is itself so damaged. It's not behaving properly.
Wait till you see what we have for you. All right, I think that's probably enough. Is that enough for Charles Hoff for us, do you think?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, that was a good little bit to hold on to.
But he was first one to point out this phenomenon of these microclots. So
yes,
we have to give him a lot of credit for bringing that attention. He said 62% of people who receive the injection show an elevated D-dimer within 1 week, whether they're symptomatic or not.
It was 62 or 67. It was way up there.
More than half.
An elevated D-dimer test shows that there are clots being formed in your body. Even though it won't necessarily show on an MRI or a CAT scan, it shows that there are microclots being formed in your body. And that's crucial to know. Now, there was another doctor named Dr. Armin Korakne, who analyzed vaccinated blood. And I want to play this as well. Then we're going to get into our discovery and sharing with you tonight what we found out through a video that we will, well, there's four of them actually. We'll tell you about that in a minute. Anything you want to say before we go into Dr. Korakne?
Yeah, just real fast, that as I said, you may or may not have symptoms if you're forming microclots. But if you were to have symptoms, they may manifest as shortness of breath, maybe blurry vision, feeling fatigued, headaches, forgetfulness, just, you know, feeling off.
Remember, these are microclots. They're unidentifiable unless you use a D-dimer test.
Yeah, they don't show up on ultrasounds.
No.
They're not big enough for that.
No. And if you are feeling a little bit forgetful, short-term memory loss, and you've been vaccinated, or you have been hanging around people who have been vaccinated, you might want to get a D-dimer test. And we could go into more, we have gone into this in the past, but maybe we'll cover that another time. You really want to know if you're microclotting. It's very important.
Because they do build up. Yep.
They will. And the cows are going to come home. Or is it the chickens coming
home? Well, and they damage organs. If your blood is clotting on that level, your organs are not receiving the oxygen or the nourishment they need to function.
No, they go into decline. Okay. All right. Here, this is Dr. Armin Korakne analyzing vaccinated blood.
So this is the blood of a person who was just vaccinated. Interestingly, the staples of the red blood cells, this is not normal. This is due to mainly electric smog, you know, and also a low mineral content in the blood.
He's showing blood on the screen that is all stacked together like rolls of quarters, call it rouleau. And they are all stuck together for reasons that are debatable, but they do stick together. Right after, it doesn't take long, after you get that kill shot.
The blood of a person who was just vaccinated, that if you take out the blood, sometimes it doesn't even come out due to clotting. So if the needle injects into the finger, immediately the blood starts to build fibrin fibers that you can see here, these fibers. And they have so many fibers that the blood does not even come out of the finger.
Erica, how can that happen that quickly? He's right, but that's astonishing, isn't it?
When you think about it. I mean, you wonder how these people are alive.
The blood, all of a sudden, rather than these beautifully free-flowing blood cells, and they're all standing off nicely from each other, they're not stuck together, flowing around, carrying nutrition, carrying oxygen, doing all sorts of things. All of a sudden, you've got a sludge, and the blood doesn't even want to come out into the needle, he said. This is staggering.
Inside the body, the coagulation is there, and the blood will be like full of these fibers and doesn't go through the arteries and the veins. It cannot go through anymore. It just slowly goes through in these patients. Just after the second vaccination, it's really severe. Yeah, and they can die after that because it's so much clotting the blood. The other vaccine is the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. It's an adenovirus. And I would suggest this is even more dangerous because then you have a selective pressure of the immune system against adenoviruses that could cross with other genetically cross. They make sex like now, and they cross with other adenoviruses, and you have this genetically engineered in any adenovirus. This is dangerous and puts a pressure on the immune system to create new viruses, not new adenoviruses, but also to create new viruses of the corona type, because they express the S protein, which is very strong antigen for the immune system since the early life of people. Yeah? So I think it's even more dangerous, and that's what we can see. So if you have a vaccination with Johnson & Johnson or AstraZeneca, you see more severe and more side effects, yeah? And stronger side effects, and not only this coagulation problem.
Okay, all of the videos that we're going to show you and the videos we've already alluded to can be found in Guests Tonight. Just click Tonight's Guests and you'll see them all there under Erica's name. So you can go back and you can look at these, you can share them, and I would urge you to do so. And if any of you are listening and who still are holding out, don't give in. Hold out. Don't get the shot.
These new vaccines, nothing has been like that before. So they change the whole side effect spectrum. As we can see that the side effects are low oxygen, this will damage the brain of any embryo that develops, of any fetus that develops. So they get stupid children, I would say, simple language. But they also can get lost. Now, so if the embryo dies inside because of low oxygen, you get just a spontaneous abortion. Now, that
stillbirths, Erica, what's going on with stillbirths? That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, there's just an epidemic now in hospitals of stillborn babies.
Was it, let me think, 20 stillbirths in one day?
Oh, up in Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Some phenomenal number that has never happened
before. 24-hour period.
Yeah, just shocking. Yeah. All right, we'll finish this off with Dr. Karakne now.
What we will see in pregnant women who have been vaccinated just because they did not know that they are pregnant. The most important point is that science should be really neutral, not dependent on money. Now, this is the most important thing we have to focus on in the future, because what we can see now is just that every scientist, every virologist, with some two exceptions I know, are dependent on the money of big companies. Because it kills people. Just the money kills people, not only jobs, but it also kills people. That's the situation right now.
Okay, that is the situation right now. It's killing people. It's killing a lot of people. And I think it's probably around 3 million Americans now who have been murdered. That's my best guess at this point, and that's what we do most of the time here, unfortunately, is guess. But we do a pretty good job of studying the overall picture. Now, tell us about Dr. Susan Humphreys and what we're going to look at. Go to guests, look under our name, and pull up the Susan Humphreys video page. There are four videos there. They're not long. They're short. So tell us who Susan Humphreys is and what we're going to see.
Dr. Suzanne Humphreys is a practicing clinician. I believe she's out of the state of Maine. And she has long been a educator, I guess, in the field of vaccinations, pointing out the dangers of vaccinations. And, of course, this one is no different. And she has a Telegram group of about 12,000 followers, and she occasionally posts interesting findings in her work, studies she's come across, and in some cases clinical findings. And this week she posted some images of a live blood analysis that she had done on a patient who had received the Pfizer vaccine back in August, so approximately 4 months ago. And this patient had been symptomatic from the day of the injection. I'm not sure if they went ahead and got the second injection or just one. But she posted the images of this person's blood, and initially they looked okay. The immediate image shortly after the blood draw, which came out of the finger, looked okay. But when the blood was allowed to stand for a period of time, I'm not sure if that was minutes, probably minutes. The red blood cells, I guess, split open, and various microbial forms could be seen assembling. And she was at a loss as to identify them, and nobody that saw them really offered any conclusive identity for what these things might be. They're rather horrific, and we could conjecture as to what they might be. I have to say I'm an amateur at this. I have no formal training in live blood analysis, but based on comparative images, they look sort of like some kind of fungal form. But it also looks fairly aggressive. And we could maybe assume that it came as a contaminant, possibly, in the vials. We know they're contaminated. And fungus is one of many contaminants that can turn up in these pharmaceuticals, these injectables. So it may have been spawned from the injection, or if this person's blood is so degenerated, these fungal forms may have arisen from within the person's own blood, as has been known to happen when blood degenerates.
What I'd like everybody to do is go to the videos. There are four of them. Load the page, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, right on the guest page there, and load those up. We're going to go through four short videos. And are you able to see these right now, Erica?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to give everybody a little bit more time. Look in guests, look under Jeff and Erica, and you'll see the Dr. Suzanne Humphreys videos. Load that page. This is really important. And what really concerns us is that many in the so-called alt-news community are going to try to resurrect the Hydra hoax. And we are concerned that they may try to use this to do it. And you'll see why. But before we start looking at them, and go ahead and pull the first one up there. You don't need to press start yet. But I want you to look at that. You see blood cells, and you see generally clear liquid. You see a few other things here and there. That's probably normal for blood. Blood is supposed to be clean. It's supposed to be blood cells, platelets, white cells, red cells, leukocytes, is that another one? But they're supposed to be doing their job. Now, what you're going to see, I think, will shock you. This is blood taken from a vaccinated person, and you're going to see what happens to that blood after just letting it sit for a very short while after the withdrawal. So look at the first video. Now, we're looking at the Suzanne Humphreys videos. Look at the first one at the top of the page. Looks pretty nice. Looks normal. Now, this person got an injection and had a blood sample taken. So click the play on the first one. See a few things moving around. And then it stops. It's a 6-second video. That's all it is. Anything you want to say about that first frame in there?
No, it doesn't look particularly remarkable, so.
Right. Okay. All right, the second one. Now, all of a sudden, we if you go back and forth, go back to the first one, now go down to the second one. What do you see? You see all sorts of white, little white items floating around in the blood, in the blood plasma. And then you see something that is very odd looking. It's rather translucent toward the bottom center of the picture. If you look at it, it's got, well, we call them tendrils. What would you call them?
Yeah, filaments of some sort.
Almost like tubes. Okay?
Yeah.
So you get that. Now, this blood does not look healthy already. It's the same person. So click the play on this one. Let's just watch what happens. What do you see? Play it again. Look at the movement. Look at the small whitish objects. And look at that object with the has stalks coming off of it. You see it? It's right there on the bottom. It is, again, rather translucent. I'm going to play it a third time. You can see everything's moving, seemingly moving by the pressure of the blood being pushed, hopefully, by the heart. And I'm being somewhat facetious, but not thoroughly. All right, now this blood has what, who called it garbage and got in trouble for it? Remember that? That was funny.
Fleming, yeah, right.
Dr. Fleming. He said, yes, it's full of garbage. Well, this blood...
Well, that was the vials of the vax, not actually the blood.
Correct.
He was
correct.
Able to show the blood clotting almost immediately when it was exposed to whatever was in the vials.
We don't know what was in the vials to cause this blood to go into this configuration, but look at it. It looks filthy. Look at the cells on the right, in the upper right. Look inside the cell. What do you see? You see odd colored shapes. Look at the cell below it. Looks like it's full of trash. Look at the cell at the bottom right. There's something in the center there. Now, I'm not a professional in this field, and I don't know how odd that is, but I do know all of these little white things fluttering around. And that other thing with the stalks on it at the bottom center apparently should not be there. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. This is totally abnormal and rather frightening.
I mean, would anyone really choose to have blood like this if you go back to the first picture, which is what normal blood should look like, then drop down to the second picture? All right, that's sitting according to Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, sitting after being drawn for not a very long time. Let's go to the third picture. Look at the cells. They're bluish, you'll see. Now jump back to the first picture. They're bluish. What do you see in them? Nothing. Now go back down to the third, and what do you see in them? You see garbage. Lots of stuff seemingly has invaded these blood cells. And look at the one on the right. Is that a round circumference? A membrane around that cell? or is it wiggly and wobbly? Look at it. Now let's push play on this one, see what we get. Look at the activity in that blood. That's not supposed to be there. Not supposed to be there. Now, dead center, somebody might say, look, a hydra. Tell us what that is, Erica, to the best of our ability to project a guesstimate. That is not a hydra.
I would say it's some sort of a fungal form. I mean, fungus are known to put out these things called hyphae. And it looks like, it's a fungal form that's expanding, putting out spores.
Look at the end of each of the stalks. There's a round kind of a bulb on the end of it. And if you look carefully and you do some research, that's not at all what a hydra presents. Nothing like that.
No, there's actually something called a conidiophore that's a part of...
Would you spell that for us?
C-O-N-I-D-I-O-P-H-O-R-E, conidiophore, which is part of a fungus that looks like these tentacles. When it's going through a certain part of its life cycle...
Now, keep in mind also that hydra is a freshwater animal. It's not a parasite, and it would not do well in a saline solution like your blood, like the blood in this picture. And Dr. Humphreys said what to you about trying to figure out what she was looking at in the blood? How did she characterize what she saw in these videos?
At this point, it's undecided. She just said that it's... None of this should be there. I mean, this is the hallmark of very, very sick blood. There was no talk of hydra.
Fortunately.
But it appeared that this is not something that she has seen before. So we'll wait and see what people weigh in with.
She's been at live blood analysis for quite a while, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, so I think we've got to go with the possibility of, again, contamination from the cocktails or the vials, or possibly that somebody was harboring these things within them, and then now because of the immune suppression and the toxicity of the blood, they are spawning all manner of, these really basic microbial forms, the primitive life forms.
Look at picture number 3 in the upper right corner. You'll see what looks like a brown stick. I want you to keep that in mind. And look at the center. And go look up if you want. Look up hydras. You'll see this is not a hydra. It's, if you look up fungal forms, what's the best tag to use to look up fungal forms? Fungal forms?
Yeah, fungal form, infectious fungal forms.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good short video there called, I think it was, I'm drawing a blank, but it showed a fungal form making its way in and amongst red blood cells, and it looks similar to this, not totally, but, and I think it was the Candida aureus, maybe, which
Correct.
Is a drug-resistant form of Candida.
Correct. That's what it was.
But there are all kinds of fungus that can take up residence in people's blood, unfortunately. And when you're in an immune-suppressed state, let's not forget what happened in India earlier this year. There were so many people afflicted with that mucormycosis, which is really, it can travel in the blood.
That was a shocker. All right, let's look at the last, we got two more videos to go, so I want to move rather quickly. Look at the fourth video, and you'll see what I pointed out, that brown stick-like stalk has now turned into, if you look carefully at it, it's got loops on the ends. Look closely, right near the center play button, and you'll see. Follow the strand that goes down to the left of the play button. Look at the end. Look at the loops. Looks like a braided hair. someone's braided hair. Look over on the right, and you'll see another formation. And again, these do reflect observable pictures on the internet of fungal types. So go ahead and hit play on this one. That is not what blood is supposed to look like. Play it again. What do we have there, Erica? What do we think those things are?
I don't know, but I would call these creatures composters. I mean, this person's dying.
Decarbonization of the planet. We are the carbon life form. All right, we'll keep those up there for you tonight, and tomorrow you can certainly go take a look at them again, share them. No Hydra. If anyone tries to push that your way, don't go there. Next video is invasive fungal infections. So please bring that up. Again, we're looking at videos in guests. It's a 24-second long video. Erica, you want to go ahead and take this one? Invasive fungal infection.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I was just talking about. So that kind of shows you, I believe this is the Candida aureus that they're showing here.
That's right. Push play, everyone. See the growth of the, we call them stalks. We believe those are fungal growths, not hydra growths. Okay? Hopefully you got a good look at that. Watch it again if you'd like. Fungal contamination. Most likely the best guess we can come up with at this point.
And who knows, it may be a genetically modified fungal form thanks to the synthetic biology that's being injected with these bioweapons.
Okay, the last thing at the bottom of the guests box is typical fungal lifestyle. So we want you to think fungus on this.
Life cycle.
It's a cycle. That's right. Okay, so here's the image. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, okay, so there you've got a typical life cycle of a fungus going from spore to the germination to the hypha and putting out its tentacles. And to me, that's what it looks like in these images. That's my best guess. But we'll see. We'll see who weighs in with what.
I hate to use the term tentacles because people are going to jump on the Hydra hoax again. But whatever they are, they're stalk-like and they do grow. You can see them in the video that we just looked at. And if you look at the spores, you might be seeing fungal spores in the blood, those little white round objects that are moving all over the blood. You see that? Conidia, C-O-N-I-D-I-A, spores. And then look at germination. And then look at the subsurface hypha. Not hydra, hypha. And you can follow the life cycle. Round and around it goes. It should not be in the blood. Go back again.
No, that's
again.
A sign of a really, really sick blood.
Very sick person. Go back again to the four videos and just let's go again with number one. The Suzanne Humphrey videos. Look at number one. Play it. You see, looks relatively normal. The blood cells are clumped together on the right side, real low. That's not supposed to be, but we'll pass that for the moment. Look at the second one, same blood, a few minutes later. Hit play. Look at the activity. Are those little white things, little round things, are they spores? Is that a fungus in the center with stalks? And look at the cells. Look at the blood cells. They're not normal. They've been compromised somehow. And then look at the next one. play that one? Look at the activity. And in the center again, looks like a fungal construct with rounded ends on the stalks coming off of it. And maybe all of those little white moving objects, which should not be there, are spores, fungal spores. Look at the last image. Click that to play and look at the activity. And look at those, that looping braid-like structure coming off to the left. This is extraordinary stuff. Not supposed to be there. So what do we do, Erica? What do we do?
Stop taking the kill shot.
That's it. That's all you can do. So I hope all of you learned something there. We'll leave these videos up for you to look at and study and pass around. Again, we are speculatively scientific about this. That's the best we can do. But it all makes sense when you do the research that this looks like a fungal invasion of the blood. Was it planted in the vials? Is it part of a contaminant process? Don't know. But we're watching. So thank you all for being here. We appreciate you very much. Thanks, Erica. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good
evening. Okay. Thank you. All right, everyone. That's it. And it's Friday night. That means a weekend. So do make plans to try to get out and do a little prepping. All right? If you have a Costco nearby, go pick up some freeze-dried things and put them away. You're going to need them. You're going to need them. All right, we'll be back Monday. Best of on Sunday night. In the meantime, the network will be broadcasting 24/7. Take good care. Thanks for being here.